Well, good morning and welcome again to you all. It's lovely to see you here. Just a reminder again, this is an all-age service, so we welcome people of all ages here together today as we worship, as we listen to God's word, as we come to meet him together. So that's really, really cool. Just to let you know that the creche room and the parent and toddlers area in the foyer is available, so please feel free if you wish to use it, you're very welcome to, but otherwise we just love to spend this time together as we come to God now. So can I please invite Holly, who's going to come up and share our Old Testament reading. And I might just bring this up for you, Holly.
The Old Testament reading for today is from Psalm 89, verses 1 to 12. O Lord, I will sing of your love forever. Everyone yet to be born will hear me praise your faithfulness. I will tell them, God's love can always be trusted, and his faithfulness lasts as long as the heavens. You said, David, my servant, is my chosen one, and this is the agreement I made with him. David, one of your descendants will always be king. O Lord, let the heavens now praise your miracles, and let all of your angels praise your faithfulness. None who live in the heavens can compare with you. You are the most fearsome of all who live in heaven. All the others fear and greatly honor you. You are the Lord God, all-powerful. No one is as loving and faithful as you are. You rule the roaring sea and calm its waves. You crushed the monster Rahab, and with your powerful arm you scattered your enemies. The heavens and the earth belong to you, and so does the world with all its people, because you created them and everything else. Mount Tabor and Mount Hermon gladly praise you.
Great. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. I want to start with a question, if I may. And my question is this. What do you think is the main message of the Bible story? Let's take a moment to think about that. And I want you to turn to the person next to you, be brave, and just share even just a couple of words or a sentence. How would you summarize the Bible message? Off you go. Go for it. 1 minute. No pressure. Okay, that's quite enough time to be talking about the whole Bible story. Far too long already. You may or may not know that this month, July 2017, is Bible Month. And I know what you're thinking. Isn't every month Bible Month? Well, yes, of course it is. But the Bible Society in New Zealand has marked this month as Bible Month to raise the profile of the Bible and to challenge us as churches and individuals in thinking about how we come to God's word and how we engage with it. So today we're thinking about the Bible, God's word, and how we engage with it. This month also, the Bible Society published some research to a survey they did this year. And the survey was about surveying the whole of the country around what the Bible means to us as New Zealanders. And about 1,300 people responded. And in that survey, they were asked the very same question that I just asked you. What would you say was the main message of the Bible story? I wonder what they said. Well, here is next slide, please, Wayne, thank you, is a word cloud of what the general population responded to that question. As you can see, the most common single response was, I don't know. But closely, followed by some variation of that golden rule that we find in Luke 6:31. Do to others what you would have them do to you. Now, that was the general population. How did just the Christian respondents, how did they fare? How did their responses compare? Well, here's a word cloud to represent the Christian responses. Quite frightening to see that don't know is quite a big, represents quite a big part of that, doesn't it? And now, while their responses were, of course, that they were more likely to respond with things about God and Jesus and Christian doctrine, their main response still commonly was based around this whole idea of being a good person and being good to others. And I wonder what you think when you hear that. I wonder if you would agree. When I saw that, I felt really actually quite disappointed. Because while being a good person and while treating others is really important, is that really what the Bible message is about? And I think this research tells us that as people, as Christians, we can often see the Bible as a kind of a self-help kind of manual, a kind of a guide to life that we can dip in and out of and get some nice teachings from, and they will help us to know how to be a good person. A kind of a Christian version of Aesop's fables, I guess. Now, of course, the Bible is a book that should inform us and it should challenge us about the way we live and about the way we treat others. Of course it should. But it's much more than that, isn't it? The Bible is much bigger and broader and deeper than that. And I think this research shows us that we all need, all of us, from our very youngest to our very oldest, we all need to be challenged about coming to the Bible and to see it as broader and deeper than just that. And I'd like to take two approaches this morning of how I think that can help us in terms of engaging with the Bible. And I'd like you to think about the Bible as a drink. A few odd looks, I know, bear with me though. I want you to think about it first as a drink like this. A long, cold glass of lemonade on a really hot summer's day. And how would you drink such a drink? Any suggestions? Quickly, yeah, of course you would. You'd down it all in one go, right? It's a hot summer's day. It wants to quench your thirst. Well, the Bible's a bit like that too. Hold that thought. The Bible's also a bit like this. It's also like a very special drink, like a quality single malt whiskey thing. Anyone drink whiskey? I don't know what I'm talking about. But, you know, in a very special crystal glass. How would you drink a drink like this? Thank you, Fraser. He did that at the ATM. I knew he was going to do it again, but you didn't disappoint me. Apart from Fraser, how else would we drink a drink like this? Yeah, you would, wouldn't you? You'd sip it slowly, and you'd take every single flavor and depth of flavor as you sip this quality drink. And the Bible's a bit like this, too. Let me explain by taking each in turn. So the first one, we all need to be challenged regularly to come to the Bible as a long, cold drink on a hot summer's day, downing it all in one. We need to read the Bible as one big story, a sweeping story that is supposed to catch us up in that story. Because after all, that story in its entirety is supposed to capture us and it's supposed to change us, isn't it? And so what is this story? Well, I'm going to show you a short video, and I think some of our kids should hopefully recognize this video because you've seen this before. But let's just have a look at this short video. Thanks, Wayne.
In the beginning, God creates the heavens and the earth in 6 days. He makes Adam and Eve, who spend their days with God, until they give in to temptation by eating from a forbidden tree. Sin enters the world, and things get so bad that God floods the earth and starts over with Noah and his family. Years later, God calls Abraham to follow him with the promise to make Abraham the father of a great nation. Abraham obeys, and God gives him a son, Isaac. Isaac's son Jacob has 12 sons. Joseph, Jacob's favorite, becomes second in command of Egypt. God uses him to save his entire family in Egypt from starvation. Hundreds of years later, the Israelites are slaves in Egypt. Moses is called to lead the Israelites out of slavery. Joshua takes over after Moses and leads the people into the promised land. After Joshua, God raises up judges, temporary military leaders, like Deborah, Gideon, and Samson, who protect and fight for God's people. The people tire of this leadership, and they call for a king. God gives Israel King Saul, King David, and then King Solomon. But it's all downhill from here. The people rebel, the kingdom of Israel is divided, and everyone turns their back on God. Prophets like Elijah, Isaiah, Micah, and Jeremiah warn that if people don't repent of their sins, there will be consequences. But the people ignore their warnings. The divided kingdoms are conquered, and God's people face captivity in foreign lands. People like Daniel show great courage and stand up for God when no one else does. Some of the exiled people return to the promised land, but for 400 years, God is silent. No prophets, no miracles, and no angel visitations. But then, the silence is broken when Jesus is born. He lives a perfect life, teaches truth, and performs miracles, proving he is God. He shows us the full extent of God's love by taking our place and dying on the cross for our sin. He is placed in a grave, but 3 days later, Jesus rises again, conquering sin and death. His followers travel the world, sharing the good news of his love and starting churches. We now are part of this story, and we have the chance to change the world and share his love, because one day he will crack open the sky and he will return. It's the greatest story ever told.
Pretty cool, eh? Indeed, the greatest story ever told. The Bible is one big story about God. It's about the God who makes, the God who rescues, the God who promises, and the God who acts as well. And it's a story that we're supposed to be swept up in and carried along in. It's a story where we're supposed to find our place within it. And that can only happen if we know the whole story. Any people in here fans of Lord of the Rings novels? Got a few Lord of the Rings fans, great. Any Shakespeare fans? Not quite so much. Oh, actually, there's quite a few. Okay, yeah. Now, the one Shakespeare play I remember reading back at school was Hamlet. And, of course, Hamlet has got that famous line in it, hasn't it? You know the famous line? Oh, yeah. To be or not to be, that is the question. Now, if you're a Hamlet fan and you're coming to the play of Hamlet, and you're not going to come to that line and read that line and then say, well, this is what the whole play of Hamlet must be about. That somehow it's about, I don't know, the futility of life and wanting to be done away with it all. Yes, sure, that's an important part of the story, but it only means what it means in the light of the whole play, the whole story. And it's the same we come to the Bible, isn't it? We must come to the Bible as one big story. Yes, do to others as you would have them do to you is an important part of the Bible. And you can find it in various places in various ways, but it only means what it means in the light of the whole of the story. So here's my question to you all. Here's my challenge. When was the last time you came to the Bible like a cold, long cold drink of lemonade on a hot summer's day? When was the last time you came to the Bible as one big Bible story? Now, if you need some help with that, there are some good resources that can help you to do that. And here's just a few. And by the way, there are going to be more resources that you can browse and look at in the foyer, at the table in the foyer at the back. So if you want to, at the end of the service, come and have a look at some more resources, please do that. Here's just a few. Some of you may have come across Bible Gateway, an online resource Also, you can download it as an app on your phone or your device. And it has some great Bible reading plans, taking the Bible all in one go in a year, reading the New Testament in a year, all sorts of ways that you can come to the big Bible story. If you're not a keen reader, well, you can have it read to you. And what better way of having it read to you than the voice of Hercule Poirot himself? David Suchet has done a recording of the Bible in a year, which is the new international version, which, you can get CDs or download, and you can listen to that each day for a year. For our teenagers and our young people, where are you? Hands up. Have we got any teenagers, young people, apart from Fraser here today? Great, we do have some. Yeah, I don't know if you guys have come across this called the Etherlight, which is an online game. You do have to pay for this. It's not expensive. It's produced by Scarlet City, who have come out of the old Bible Postal Service, I think is what it was called. And they've produced this really high-quality game, which you can take up a character in this game, and you explore the Bible story as a whole. And it's a really, really cool experience. For those of us who are a bit younger, our primary age kids, this is called Guardians of Ancora. It's a Scripture Union game. Again, an online game. This is free this time, aimed at kind of primary age kids. And again, it's taking up a character and entering into the story of the Bible. So if you want to know how to enter into this big story, this could be one tool for you. And finally as well, you may have come across something called the Bible Project, which again is an online resource. And they've got a YouTube channel, which you can subscribe to. And there's some wonderful resources. They're kind of 6 to 8 minute videos, and they take themes that go right the way through the Bible story. Themes like the Messiah from start to end, heaven and earth from start to end. And also they take books of the Bible. So they look at Matthew, for example, in 6 minutes, and break apart the book of Matthew and how it works and its function. Really, really good quality theological stuff. I'd really highly recommend this as a resource. But however you choose to do it, be challenged to come regularly to the Bible as one big story. Secondly, we're halfway there already. Coming to the Bible like a special glass of quality malt whiskey, or yeah, single malt, whatever it is called. While it's important to come to the Bible as one big story, it's equally important to come from the other end too, and to get deep down into smaller, more specific passages of Scripture, to be unhurried as you immerse yourself into the Bible stories that you're reading. Because each part of the story has something to tell us about God and who he is and what he's like. So what do I mean by this, about immersing ourselves into Scripture? Well, there's lots of ways you can do this, and it's not a case of one size fits all, but I've always found that trying to imagine myself in the story, it can be a really powerful thing. Placing myself into the story. Where am I in it? Where am I standing? Who am I with? These all help to give me a sense of what's going on in the story, not with just my head, but with my heart as well. Let me show you what I mean. We're going to do a little bit of a retelling of a gospel story, a story that we find in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41, which you will recognize as the story of Jesus calming the storm. So I want to invite you to imagine yourself in that story, okay? Let me put this up to help us. So I want to invite you into this retelling of the story. And we're in the first half of the first century, and we're on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And this is a picture of what it might have looked like in Jesus' day. And you can see that it's a pretty busy place. It's full of boats, fishing boats, and fishermen cleaning their nets, ready for the next venture out into the water. And also traders who are negotiating the price of the buckets and barrels of fish that are coming off the boats. It's a noisy and it's a busy place. But the fishing trade is not the only thing that's causing a commotion on the shores of the Sea of Galilee this morning, because crowds have gathered to hear a teacher from Galilee called Jesus. And you are there with some of your friends, and you are followers of Jesus. And he's been talking all day about the kingdom of God, about farmers and seeds and soil, and your brain is buzzing with all the things that he's been saying and sharing, and you are exhausted. It's now evening, and Jesus invites you to join him and the others in a fishing boat to head across the Sea of Galilee to the other side to get some much-needed rest and to escape the crowds. Now, can I invite you, please, to close your eyes as we imagine the next part of this story? Because it's now dark, and you're in the boat with about a dozen of your companions, and Jesus, who's exhausted by the long day, is asleep in the back of the boat on a cushion. Take a look around you as you sit on that boat. Where are you sitting in the boat? What can you see? Look up at the sky. Are the stars out tonight? Can you see the moon? What can you smell? The smell of fish from the nets in the bottom of the boat? The sweat-stained body of your friend next to you? What can you hear? Maybe the wooden planks of the boat creaking? Maybe the sail flapping in the breeze? As you sit in that boat, thinking about the day's events, how do you feel? Okay, you can open your eyes. Because you are disrupted from your wanderings by a sudden gale that is whipped up out on the Sea of Galilee. And now I need your help for the telling of the next part of the story, okay? Now, as you walked in this morning, you might have found a few odd objects in and around the church and under seats. First of all, there are some long lengths of blue sheeting, one down this side and another down that side. Now, at the appropriate point, and I'll tell you when, if you're sitting on the ends of the rows, could I ask you to hold that sheet and flap it around to make the waves that are coming up around the boat, all right? If we need a few more people on rows to sit on the end, could you please shuffle along so we've got more than just two people holding the blue sheet? That would be great. Also, some of you will find you've got buckets underneath your seats. Can you have a look under your seat? See if you've got a bucket? Any buckets around? They're not for the collection later, don't worry. They are for you to use to start bailing out the water that's coming into the boat. So if you've got a bucket at the appropriate point, can you use it to bail the water out of the boat, please? And some of you will also find under your seats a blue streamer. Have a look and see if you've got a blue streamer underneath your seat. Fraser's very disappointed. He hasn't got a bucket or a streamer. Sorry, Fraser. So again, you're just going to stand at the appropriate point, leave your seat, stand in the aisle. And if this is our boat, you're going to start filling the boat with waves, okay? So kind of hold on to the end of your streamer. I hope this works. And just kind of let it go into the boat, okay? All right? So be prepared and be ready if you've got a bucket, a streamer, or if you're shaking the waves, okay? The rest of us, we're in the boat with the disciples, okay? Can we have our sound effect, please, Wayne? Concerned turns to panic when the waves begin to come in over the sides of the boats. Streamers draw clear now. Some of you grab buckets to try and bail the water out. Come on, buckets. No matter how fast you go, the water comes in more quickly. And panic has turned to fear as you start to think the worst. Sound effects down, please wait. Okay, on the screen, we all together shout out these words. You ready? 1, 2, 3. We're going to drown! Help us! It's hopeless! Just as you concede that there's nothing else that you can do, you suddenly remember something you've forgotten or panic. Jesus is with you in the boat. You turn to him and you find to your surprise he's still curled up asleep in the back on a cushion. And so you shake him and you shout at him. Are you ready? Teacher, don't you care that we drown? Jesus looks, stands up. He looks at you and the others, calm and steady. He rebukes the winds, he says to the waves, be quiet. And immediately the winds dies down. Is a standing at the back of the room. You don't think you can see much out of that window at all, but as you approach the window, as you get close to it, and as you squash your nose up against it, you can suddenly see the entire landscape unfold in front of you. And this is the same with the Bible. As we come to a story like Jesus calming the storm, as we press our noses up against it, and immerse ourselves in it, we should see the whole landscape of the Bible unfolding in front of us. Of the story of the God from Psalm 89 that we heard read from Holly earlier, this God who is faithful and who can be trusted, this all-powerful God who rules the surging seas and calms its waves. Now, I think if we take these two approaches to Scripture, we'll begin to read the Bible for all it's worth. And before I finish, just a few more quick resources. I will unashamedly promote some Scripture Union resources here. You may have come across these, Encounter with God and Daily Bread, Bible reading guides that can help you dig into God's Word. Really good quality resources. For any primary age children here, I know I've shown you this before, but Snapshots is, again, designed for primary age children specifically in daily reading God's Word and encountering God through His Word. If you are a family and you want to have a go at doing this together, and I encourage you to do this, coming to God's Word, not just individually, but as a family, Faithbox is a really good tool to do this. It provides all you need to engage with God's Word on a weekly basis. And we've got an example on the promotion table at the back that you can come and have a look and have a dig through. A really good resource. But my final point is that all of this must be soaked in prayer. You can get your hands on as many wonderful resources as you like. You can fill your head with all sorts of knowledge about the Bible, but it means nothing really unless you soak the whole process in prayer. Asking the Holy Spirit to guide you and to guide your reading, that you may become a person that is changed and shaped by the story. Can I invite you to stand, please? Because we're going to finish and we're going to respond by reading, saying the words of the Lord's Prayer together. Now, we're very familiar with this prayer, I know, but we can too easily forget the truly distinctive feature of Christian prayer this prayer gives us. This prayer stunningly encapsulates this truth that we are all invited into the story that God is unfolding here in His creation. A story that is bigger than you, bigger than me, bigger than all of us. A story that is bringing about God's will on earth as it is in heaven. And we're invited to join God in that story. So let's keep that in our hearts and our minds as we pray these words together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.